Welcome back, friends, to Joel chapter 3. It's a remarkable chapter that opens with the Lord restoring his people's fortunes and ends with the Lord dwelling in Zion. This is the future God has planned for his people, for the nations, for his planet. The Lord dwelling on earth as in heaven, unbroken fellowship with his people, wickedness dealt with, and all creation renewed. Its scope is breathtaking. And how is all this going to unfold? Let's recap the stunning turn of events in Joel chapter 2 to set the scene for this new chapter. The first theme was the Lord's dramatic reversal. Remember the choose-your-own-adventure stories? A dark and dismal future that seemed all but certain until the protagonist was presented with a choice, each choice leading to remarkably different endings. And in Joel chapter 2, the people of Judah were presented with just such a choice. It all hinged upon the call to Judah's common people, elders, children, bride, bridegroom, priests, to turn and tear open their hearts to the Lord their God. And in Joel's vision, when they did so, an incredible change followed. A completely different possibility opened up before them. What began as an announcement of the Lord's invading army of judgment was transformed into the Lord's generous proclamation of salvation, not just for Jews, but for all people, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Can you see it? A new kind of army of ordinary, spirit-filled people announcing salvation, teaching people everywhere to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus commands it in what we know as the Great Commission. Peter identifies its beginning at Pentecost in Acts 2, when Jesus first poured out his Spirit. Paul declares it to both Jews and Gentiles in Romans 10. Because Jesus is the same Lord of all the peoples of the earth. This theme of reversal will be further developed in chapter 3 and offered to all the nations of the world. And we will watch to see what ending to their adventure story the nations will choose. A second theme developed in chapter 2 was the Day of the Lord, that future day that looms large on the calendar, circled boldly in permanent marker. A day when the Lord will destroy all wickedness, so that all creation will be renewed. The Lord himself will come as judge and put the whole world right. Its exact date is hazy, but there it is written in bold block letters. It is coming, the day of the Lord. But this second theme also contains the all-important third theme. The day of the Lord is the day of Yahweh, the I Am who revealed his character to Moses in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, after Israel's idolatry with the golden calf. This revelation drove Moses to his knees to intercede for Israel's forgiveness. In response, the Lord not only forgave, but promised his presence with them. And Judah had this same kind of awakening to the merciful, covenant-keeping character of God in chapter 2. Judah took hold of Yahweh in intercession, unleashing the Lord's incredible Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 promise to deal with their hard hearts, repay their debts, and give them his Spirit, an amazing work of God. And to top it all off, the Lord promised this gift of his Spirit to all God's people. And so, now we're ready to begin in Joel chapter 3, verse 1. In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Notice the all-important time frame Joel mentions here. In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. This refers back to the Lord's promise to pour out his Spirit when all God's ordinary people proclaim salvation to the nations, by calling on the Lord's name, as Judah has just done. And as they proclaim salvation, what will God do? He will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. This valley isn't a known valley in Israel, but is a place where, like the meaning of Jehoshaphat's name, the Lord judges. Don't miss the significance of what Joel is telling us here. Think back to the Lord's original call of Abraham in Genesis 12. When Judah repents, calls on the Lord, and is empowered by His Spirit, then Israel can finally become the nation through whom all nations are blessed. Peter tells us this was inaugurated through Jesus at Pentecost. Just as the nations were scattered at Babel, the Lord will reverse their fortunes at Pentecost and send out His people to gather all nations to a place of decision. Isn't this incredible? Like Judah, the Lord will give the nations the same opportunity to repent, to call on the Lord's name, and be saved. Back in verse 2, "There I will put them on trial, because they scattered my people among the nations. They cast lots for my people, and traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine to drink." What will happen in the valley of Jehoshaphat? The Lord will put the nations on trial. He will hold them to account for the evil they have done to His people, for scattering them, stealing their land, gambling with people's lives, selling girls and boys for alcohol and prostitution. Did you recognize again the Lord's name Yahweh at work? The Lord forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and yet He will not clear the guilty. The Lord will judge those who refuse to call on His name and reject His offer of mercy. Verse 4. "Now what have you against me, Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you're paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. For you took my silver and my gold. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem. You sent them far away from their homeland. See, I'm going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will return on your own heads what you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, a nation far away. The Lord has spoken." Did you notice the Lord's two questions to the nations? What have you against me? Are you repaying me for something I have done? The nations are claiming the Lord is unjust. But hear the Lord's response. "If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done." Those nations which refuse the Lord's offer of mercy leave the Lord no other choice. He offered them forgiveness, but in their arrogance they've chosen a different ending to their story. They will reap what they have sown. They will not escape the coming army of the Lord. To the unrepentant nations, the Lord proclaims in verse 9, "Prepare for war. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, 'I am strong.' Come quickly, all you nations, from every side and assemble there." Can you hear the irony? The Lord is calling the nations to war against Him. He tells them to mobilize their resources to prepare to fight. Verse 11. "Bring down your warriors, Lord. Let the nations be roused into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come trample the grapes, so great is their wickedness." Did you notice the mixed imagery? The Lord's warriors are pictured as farmhands, harvesters, sent by the Lord to gather the wicked from nations and destroy their fruits. Verse 14. "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord will thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." Hear the repetition. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are people everywhere. Everyone is called to account. But those who trusted the Lord are safe. Does this sound familiar? Jesus tells a similar story in the Gospels. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. In verse 17, "Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her." Wow, that hazy calendar day of the Lord has finally arrived. And all peoples will know the Lord as Savior and Judge. Each person, each nation, without excuse. Verse 18. "In that day, the mountains will drip new wine, the hills with milk, the ravines with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house." And what's God's ending to his story? A new creation that drips new wine, flows with milk, and runs with water. All creation, a temple for the Lord. Verse 19. "But Egypt will be desolate, Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations. Shall I leave their innocent blood unavenged? No, I will not." What a contrast! The Lord vindicates his people, the guilty are punished, and we will live with him forever. And that's Joel's final announcement. The Lord dwells in Zion. So what about you? Where do you fit in this choose-your-own-adventure story? The Lord offers repentance, forgiveness, new creation, a bright ending for all who call upon his name. But if we refuse his generous salvation, judgment is certain. The Lord will deal with all sin to make creation a place fit for a king. And that's how Joel's story ends, and a new story begins, with the Lord dwelling in Zion.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.